Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
electric soldering. This is a podcast while driving here, just for a few minutes to pick up our fruit and veggies, so I'm going to stop some of the noise in this car. There you go. Yeah. Right. So it's our radio on, it's just pulling out something here. Yeah, this electrical soldering, and I don't know, there's something really handed down through the generations and stuff like that, and depending where you are, you know, what you're doing, you modify techniques. So I just thought I'd share with you some of the modified techniques that I have. Now, the first thing is that there is really nothing like a high quality, expensive electric soldering iron where you can set the temperature and it goes to it really quickly. So now, obviously that costs a few bucks, and then you can buy sort of cheaper and cheaper versions. And there was a cheaper version out of China which didn't last. It was on its trip to e-waste. It's had a little temperature gauge on it. And you know, it's sort of like the most basic thing, and why you would be spending hundreds of dollars on a precision soldering iron. Now, the great thing about a soldering iron for electric circuits is that it's got a very thin, whatever it is, tip, and it can it's got a low thermal mass, so it heats up quickly, it goes to temperature on thing. It's designed, of course, if you don't have that money, you can't really go there. There's also the battery-operated soldering irons. These are some of your bolts, press a button, and it heats up really quickly. And so that's what you really need for good electronics. But, of course, I don't have that sort of money, and so I went to the hardware store and bought a 60-watt monster for so much, and, for 12 bucks all up. And that's when my e-waste one broke. And it's got a sort of a big, heavy, thick thing. And then for 12 bucks, it also had a desoldering and some solder. And, you know, mind-boggles how they can produce things like that. Sell it and make a profit. You know, store it, light it, and, you know, you pay for it. You're really paying for everything there. The sort of techniques which I sort of really liked, you can't really do with this. And so you've got to get some other techniques up. Now, of course, this is a big, heavy, broad sort of something. It's sort of delicate, you know, like a pen nib, you know, very easy. And now, of course, you're not doing this anymore because you don't have individual components, and you know, don't stuff them through the hole. They don't have wires up, and you turn it around, and that's no longer the case. So you can actually have a bit of a broadsword, and that's because you've got basically connecting one circuit board to another circuit board, and you've got to, you know, my mind is really thinking about we're not going to be able to do this. It's not going to be sustainable for hobbyists or anything to do this. You know, at some point you're going to have to print your paper with the circuit, so the wiring, the cabling on it, and then just plot on top. But before that, you have to do some point-to-point wiring. So basically, this is a wire going into a little board, and then going to another board, and back and forth. And there's sort of basic things to make it strong. I promised I'd talk to you about soldering. Now, there is a tip that I had for someone who used to solder up the rockets. Believe it or not, solder up the rocket stuff in the Australian rocket programming. And of course, NASA was by far the best soldering. You know, they'd inspect it, you know, bend it over several times, twist it a certain amount, make it sure it's really good, clean it, solder it, then x-ray it over and over again, because the solder joint might fail. And you sort of know that as you're producing, you're not producing anything near that. However, there are certain things you can do. Now, the first thing is when you're introducing some solder, your solder has a multi-chlor, has some flux in it. So flux is the word for flow. It reduces the melting point, and then it's volatile, so it steams off.
And so what happens is it melts and then it buggers off. It's to leave you with pure soldering thing. Now, the important thing is that after you've soldered a point, used a bit, you have to actually get in there with a scalpel. Or I can't use a scalpel, but I can, but I'm just not going to have any sharp things around with the blood thinners on. Get a pair of sort of precision cutters and cut off that tiny little knob so that you... And you'll notice that it will melt a lot quicker, much, much lower temperature, which is one thing. Now, the other thing is having a little engraver to just polish up your metal and polish up where you're going to solder. Yeah. You can have a liquid and a paintbrush to paint some flux things, but it wets a lot better. So get those things in. Now, something else to do is that you need some soldering. You put some solder and it wets the surface of your soldering iron, which is not the real main thing to do. And traditional thing is to get a moist stuff and clean it up. And there's something which works just that much better, and I'll be told off for it, and you'll have to know how to do this, is to get your not a wire brush, but there's a sort of a plasticky brush on your engraver, large thing, and you can just run that around there and it cleans it up really shiny and looking at. Of course, if you've got high speed stuff and soldering, you've got to wear eye protection, obviously, to do it, but it's by definitely the thing to do. Now, also, that's when you've got wire, you can hold your soldering iron or in your hand and then have the wires clamped, or you can clamp your soldering iron horizontal. Now, of course, clamping the soldering iron horizontal is sort of like, let's have an industrial accident of major scale. And I was aware of that when my jacket bent forward, flopped forward and got onto this. So I really do think rather having the soldering iron as a weapon of choice, I'm finding a nice place up here, it's best to actually have the soldering iron held horizontal. And basically, one thinks of, how would I treat this at school, and and you've also got the idea of what you're doing here. I can't back off. No, okay, I just have to make the very, very best. Oh, you bastard! Oh, so I shouldn't swear. All the good people have been brought. I'm now parked here. So, it's held there. Now, the end talk is sort of an idea of what I'd like to do with an introduction of soldering iron, sort of a safe introduction of soldering iron, because high voltage, so high temperature, kids, environment, workshop environment, you've a recipe for some little burns and disasters. I think there is a better way to go. So I'll talk about that when I've completed this. Thanks a lot for listening so far. Okay, we're back again really quickly. Yeah, so the general idea is I've got these radical ideas of a horizontal soldering iron, an engraver brush to clean it up really quickly. That does it. Various things. So, and also the thought of safety. So, what I would recommend is this. Now, it's a bit of a radical thing, and this is soldering iron for a school, various things like that. That is in the soldering iron's in a fixed horizontal box. It's probably battery powered, it's a light battery powered, because you've got the problem of cabling and people knocking out the cabling and electricity, the high voltage stuff like that. And then it's got a guard on it, which will only lock and unlock when you're ready to go, and it's got a light on it to indicate whether it's hot or cold, the temperature. Probably a digital readout of the temperature would be good on it. Yeah, that would be given that this electronics costs nothing. Now, so if you can imagine a little pencil case thing, the guard can lift up, then when it's
finished, the guard goes down, it then goes forward to a little motor, and it just runs the brush at high speed in and pulls it away. So you've always got a fresh solder tips. Then you can pick it up. Now, the big thing is, you know, the cable and stuff. Now, this is in a little box. Now, these boxes would then stack on top of each other, and a through cable, horizontal through cable, such that they could charge in the container and possibly report on their battery, you know, Internet of Things solder thing, which is, sounds a bit mad, but, you know, why not? Now, given that people can introduce two hot things together, and possibly a camera there to give you an enlarged view of what you're doing, to magnify the view. Now, then you've got the thing of I've gone on the days where you have to solder in individual components and stuff like that, but you do want to solder in things under boards and all various sorts of stuff. So you do actually want to bring out your soldering iron around there. So into your battery pack, you can introduce, you know, with the same electronics there, be your soldering kit. So that's your battery pack. So I honestly think that for the amount of times that you use the solder, now it's sort of high power. Look out, you're sort of not, it reminds me of not quite the battery thing. You may want to have it powered for it to go there, but you know, soldering irons are 30 watts, 240 volts, that's, you know, something like 300 milliamps. 30 watts, 30 volts is 2 amp. You know, this is sort of, you get out of your USB, you know, your little USB chargers and stuff like that, that sort of power. And, you know, perhaps having a USB power bank, you know, it's the USB powers your laptop, powers this sort of thing. But the general sort of the general idea is that as you move away, and of course I use the soldering iron to basically carve out up plastic, because I can't cut anything anymore, and I can't use, I tried not to use power drills, anything which risks it, so I use the thing to put in multiple holes into the plastic, and then through the poles I put in a thread of wire, then windlass the wire. It's called windlassing. It's where you twist the wire up and it sort of holds everything together. I think that's a really good technique for, oh shit, there's people taking, I'm going speed limit, I don't know what this man's on about. It's sort of needless to take risks up here in the country, because, you know, you're a good half an hour away from any other location, and so what are you doing, sort of gaining 10 seconds here and there when it's going to take that long? I have this vision of your base soldering iron unit being able to be taken out and deployed, given that people are only going to use it for a few minutes and stuff like that. And got a basic storage. It may be unrealistic. But one of the things that really sort of grabs me is that you have a sort of a fairly thick, heavy cable going to back to your soldering iron. One sort of wonders why that's so. That's because you have 240 volts. So 240 volts, you've got to put the insulation. I think if you drop it back a bit to say 12 volts, switch mode power supply, 12 volts DC, and the actual intelligent aspect there, the actual temperature control and stuff like that. The other obvious thing to do is You basically come off it, you bastard. What's happened? Glenbrook's turned into this most aggressive look. It's parked. I don't know what's happening to my little suburb. It's absolutely chock-a-block. I gotta watch it. Let's see if I can get around here. That's the general idea about soldering. You might want a. And also for stripping wire, there's at the moment you have grippers which grip the wire, then the knife blade comes down either side, and the knife blade then enters and pulls back. Now, what I would like to do is the grippers come in tight, and then they have a little bit of side play, but left to right, so you can push it left to right, so the jaw, you know, moves left right, rolling your wire, and so that way the blade can get in and cut the coating up. So that's another thing to go. I may speak a bit more about this, or I may finish up on it. Thanks a lot for listening. Okay, back again on the last little trip. I don't know, there's this house. I don't know why I'm moving forward here. It's on a big slope. So there's a house in front of me, right? Why is this not engaging? It's on reverse. Sorry, I'm just. Oh, it's taking a lot to get there. Okay, sorry about this. I'm just doing this. Kind lady is waiting. She's smiling at me as I'm going through. Yeah, the car just put a few revs on it, just in reverse. So it's all okay. Now, okay, getting back to it. We've done soldering, and there's heaps of things about safety and putting in cases and stuff like that, which wouldn't take all that much. But, however, there is this key thing that people have got this sort of USB plug or some sort of plug cabling, which is, you know, essentially you can buy sort of the statistic is that 97% of robotics is cabling problems. You know, there's another small percentage of software, and another, you know, less than 1% is actual the robots failing or anything, actual digital component failure. So the digital stuff is ultra, ultra reliable. And you can understand that from the, you know, the overall quality control. You've got a chip, and it basically will reject a whole. You know, if it's you've got say a million or a fraction of a million, and it does a sample, and if it finds one wrong, it'll keep on sampling again. And if it finds two wrong, it just rejects the whole lot. So it does get the quality really high because it's so low cost. So the cabling is the major thing. Now, what I really want to do is that all these breadboards, all these micro boards, breakout boards, have holes on a 0.15 inch or 20th of an inch separation, and you've got a cable, a plug, and you've got other breakout boards which go. Go to this. Now, what I really would like is something which just goes to a plug, but the plug can go straight into a plug to the 0.125 inch spacing. Now that for me would solve a lot of problems. This is rather than sort of fiddling around, it would be nice to have it. this is to go out to male sockets, sort of male pins. So say if you've got a four-way sort of small connector. Now, I bought some packets of these really, really incredibly small form 6-way plugs because they're really small and obviously you don't use it. But it would be really nice if that the female that it goes to would be a female plug which just solders directly into a string of six, or plugs directly into a string of six. Okay, now this is the end. So just to revive, obviously don't listen to me on soldering. Soldering is a real fine art, and essentially you really need good quality control of soldering. You need to test the joints, to x-ray the joints, and actually fault find of your soldering. Actually have a good industry technique, the way that your company solders. I don't think anyone solders all that much more. So soldering is where you heat up this lead, bismuth, indium flux, and heat it up, and it wets the component and wets the wire and solder, and creates a soldered connection between circuits. And as you are sort of pushed away from the high-end stuff in the laboratory, so I'm out in the garden with this, really out looking over the pool, soldering up, you are pushed away. There's a limit to do it. So the cheaper ones are too heavy, too big to go across. And essentially they have something, I don't know, what really gets to me is that they get the temperature up, and it's designed to actually broadsword through, heat up a very large parts. And so really for your soldering, you almost need almost not quite a heated needle, but you need something which will get the energy out. So this is a piece of copper wire which heats up, possibly even something as light as a piece of nichrome wire which heats up. Now, you also need insulated cross. So there are these various techniques to, say, like cutting out your solder, using the engraving thing to actually clean up your soldering tip. But ultimately, I would love this a plug to a USB plug, say a USB-C plug. Now, USB-C actually has 24 individual wires, or at least 12 redundant wires, and to actually have to just piggyback on and do that technology. Of course, trying to get someone else to do the wiring for you is just prohibitively expensive. I do think there is a sort of a printed, almost a 3D printing solution to lay out a printed strip that goes, sort of wires go along it, and to roll it down. Now, of course, it's just one of these really hard things to do. This is the manual labour, low reliability point across. So they're the general thoughts I have on soldering. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.